grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God, our Maker and Redeemer, you have made us a new company of priests to bear witness to the gospel. Enable us to be faithful to our calling to make known your promises to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I have a question for you, girls and boys. This is my question. How many of you have ever planted a garden or worked in a garden or worked in a garden? Okay, now I have a hard question. How do you know when the tomatoes are ready to come off the vine? How can you tell when it's time to take the tomatoes, to pick those tomatoes and bring them in the house? How can you tell? Faye, can you tell? By looking at them, what do you see when you look at them? You look for the red. What do you call that when there's a red tomato and there's next to a green tomato? A ripe tomato. So you have to pay attention when you're planting a garden to when things are ripe. When things are ripe. Jesus tells a story today in your Sunday school about the harvest being ripe when things are ready. So when you go to church, children's church now, listen to the story and see if you can hear when things are ripe, when it's ready, when time is ripe. And what is time ripe for? What is Jesus talking about when he says, the harvest is ready, it's ready. So go listen now. Faye, can you carry the Bible out?
Reading from the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter. They had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord God called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and all the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my commandment, you shall be my treasured possession out of all peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine. You shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites. So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 100 responsively. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his
presence. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless him.
For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness of all generations. Amen. The second reading is a reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 5th chapter. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, and at the time Christ died for the ungodly, indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Who's going to pay the bill? Who's going to pay the price? Who's going to pay for the consequences of our sin? Is there anyone here who can say, "I am without sin"? Is there anyone here who can say, "I can get right with God by myself"? All through the summer, we will be reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. This letter to the Romans is a great book that asks all of those questions that I just asked, and even more, and gives us an answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus is our atonement, the sacrificial lamb who dies for the sins of the world. In the death of Jesus, he pays the price. As we heard in that reading this morning, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We have access to grace because of Jesus. God proves his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let me tell you a couple stories, all true. First story, I was just out of college working in a church in South Dakota, trying to pay off my college debt, living on a very skimpy budget. One morning on my way to church, I was getting there early because I had promised to plug in the coffee before the first service, and you know how important that job is. And the whole church would fall apart without that coffee being plugged in at the right time. And I picked up a little seed as I came over the crest of a hill at quarter to seven in the morning. Picked up a little seed coming over that hill and picked up a speeding ticket on my way down. And I was a little shaken when I got to church, and the choir director said, you know, what's up? You look like you have had some trouble this morning. And I said, I just got this speeding fine. And it was $100. Actually, it was a little over $100. And I knew that there was no way I was going to be able to pay that bill. I was not going to be able to find $100 in my checkbook. And it may have well have been $1,000 for as close as I was. And at the end of the service, the choir director came to me and handed me an envelope with $103 in it. He had taken up a collection in the choir to pay my speeding ticket. Sometimes the debt is so big that you can't pay the bill and somebody else has to pay it for you. I'll never forget Gene McGowan for doing that kind deed for me. And on that day, the choir paid my bill. Second story. It was about this time of year, the time of graduations and proms, the time of students having lots of parties. And in South Dakota, where I was living, you had to drive quite a distance sometimes on unpaved roads, on the gravel roads, to get to a party. Susan was driving, just finished her junior year in high school, and three of her best friends were in the car with her. Susan lived next door to me. And maybe it was too much beer, unfamiliar road, unfamiliar new novice driver, too much speed on a corner. Susan ended up in a tragic accident. She had a severe head injury, and it was over a month before she realized that her two best friends had been killed in that accident. And the other girl in that car was down the hall in the same hospital where Susan was, still in a coma when Susan started coming out of that. How would she ever pay back for lives lost, for lives altered so dramatically? A year later, was the first time that Susan walked publicly without assistance when she walked across the stage to get her diploma. A severe head injury that left her unable to read, unable to do those cognitive things that she had been so very capable of. And on that day, she was able to walk those few steps unassisted to take that diploma that was granted to her without a signature because she wasn't able to finish school. Some mistakes that you make are so bad that you can never make up for them. There are times in life that are so bad that you can never pay your way out. Last story. Later on this summer, Sergio Martinez will stand before the judge and receive a sentence. Do you recognize that name? He's the man who pleaded guilty to starting the Cedar Fires almost 2 years ago. Over 300 1,000 acres of land were burned. Thousands of houses were destroyed. 15 lives were lost. I don't know how many animals were destroyed in that fire. The damage in dollars was estimated at more than $400 million. What a tragedy. How can he pay back for all the misery that he caused? How can he make up for the loss of lives and for the lives that have been so damaged, so dramatically changed? There's no way that he can ever pay back not only the $400 million, but for all the tragic, altering activity of that fire. St. Paul understood this. He knew that we all make mistakes that we can't buy our way out of. Even though we might try, we can't wiggle out of the consequences of our sin. We hurt others by our choices, and our friends and family and colleagues are the victims of our sinful actions. Sometimes it's the lack of action that's sinful. Our world is filled with starving people, and we turn our heads the other way. War and poverty has a death grip on most of the population in the world, and yet we are unwilling to have our complacency stirred or our consumption altered even a little bit in order to alleviate some of the pain of the world. You and I sin. There is no way else to say that. And neither you nor I could ever pay God for the sins that we have committed or omitted, the right that we have omitted. Just like I couldn't pay that $100 speeding ticket, Susan couldn't pay back for the lives lost and altered in that car accident. Sergio Martinez will never be able to pay back for the damage in that Cedar fire. You and I will never be able to pay back for the sins of our lives, for the wrongs that we have done, for the right that we have left undone. All we can do is say, please, have mercy. There's good news here. There's good news. Jesus dies on the cross for the penalty of our sin. Jesus dies on the cross to pay our way. There's no way that you or I could ever make up for the sins that we have committed or omitted. But thanks be to God for his immeasurable gift to us. St. Paul said, God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. St. Paul really understood this truth, that we are imperfect, that we are sinful people. We're totally turned in on ourselves. And while we are sinful, selfish, imperfect people, Jesus dies for us. Christ paid the penalty, paid our fine, paid our bill, made us right with God through those outstretched arms on the cross. This is really good news, but you've heard it before. You've heard it before that Christ died for your sins. In fact, you may have heard it so often that you just, maybe I should start that sentence again. We've heard it so often that we just shrug our shoulders and say, yes, Christ died for our sins. And we go on being complacent and too comfortable. Are we too comfortable with God's mercy toward us? Have we lessened the importance of that just by hearing that good news so often that it doesn't have an impact for us? Maybe, and I think that part of the reason that we are complacent about that is because we don't take our own sin seriously enough. We don't look at ourselves as the sinners that we are. We blame someone else, our parents, our society, the condition, our human condition, the situation. We don't truly acknowledge our own sinfulness. We wiggle out of it. We wiggle out of taking our sin seriously, and so we don't take God's mercy seriously either. But we, the baptized, precious children of God, St. Paul says, we can boast of our sharing in God's glory. God's love has been poured into our hearts, that even though we are sinners, even though we are imperfect, even though we are selfish and turned in on ourselves, even though we sin by commission and by omission, Jesus Christ has paid the price for us. We are justified and made right with God. We have our peace with God. We can stand here and lift up our heads knowing that we are in that embrace of God because Jesus Christ has paid our price. The gospel passage this morning ends with this sentence. You received without payment, give without payment. To say it another way, God has given you everything you are. You didn't have to bargain for it. You didn't have to pay some outrageous price. It's a great gift. And if you open your heart to that gift, you will also be filled with compassion as Jesus was filled with compassion. And you will want to give that good news, that gift to others, the good news that you have received. You got it for free. Give it for free. You are so loved by God that generosity is the only response that makes any sense. What you have been given is such a wonderful gift. How else can we respond except with generosity? We can't possibly shrug our shoulders and ignore it. We have to share that good news. Jesus is filled with compassion and care, and he sent out the apostles to tell that good news in word and in deed. My prayer is that we too, in our words and in our deeds, will give what we have received, the good news of God's immeasurable gift to us. Every time you see a cross today, think of God's gift to you. Think that Jesus paid the bill for you. We are free. We are forgiven. We are made right with God through Jesus Christ. Let that cross that we see everywhere we look be a sign for us, a sign for us today that Jesus Christ paid my bill. Jesus Christ made me right with God. Jesus Christ set us free, forgave us, brought us in. Thanks be to God. Amen.